So, all right, lesson three, the word of knowledge. Lord, we thank you. Yes. Father, we praise you. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your awesome presence in here.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
How incredible. How incredible, Lord. Lord, I just ask that you release words of knowledge to people. Release a spirit of revelation and wisdom among every person in here, Lord. Open the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our understanding, God, that we can hear your voice clearly. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Key scripture is 1 Corinthians 12:7-8. That each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Who is it given to? Each one. Each of us. For the common good. To one is given the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. That's what we're talking about, the word of knowledge, okay? And the second one, I just keep emphasizing this, out of 1 Corinthians 14:1. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Translation of earnestly desire is to lust after. Let me define the word of knowledge for you. It's a supernatural revelation of fact about a person or a situation. It is not learned through the efforts of your natural mind. It is knowledge freely given by God. The closing, the truth which the Spirit wishes to be made known. A word of knowledge is a definite conviction, impression, or divine knowing. It's a supernatural insight. Understand the circumstances, situation, or problems, a knowing of what to do. It's a divine piece of information about the past or the present. That's the key. The word of knowledge is about the present or the past. It's not about the future. And this part here, when we talk about the word of knowledge versus the gift of a prophecy, prophecy, pure prophecy, is about the future. Word of knowledge is the present and the past. It's information that you've done or you're experiencing now. If you ever see psychics, the word of knowledge is counterfeited with psychics. A psychic can operate in the word of knowledge because demons know what happened in your past. They know what's going on with you now. So the demonic realm can speak to a psychic, but you'll never hear a psychic accurately prophesy because they do not know the future. That's only up to God. And the word of knowledge is powerful. The first time I encountered the word of knowledge, it really just knocked me down. It was up at Ruth Heflin's camp up at Ashland, Virginia. And this guy came in from Texas, just got off the plane. I knew he just got off the plane and got there. There's people coming from all over. The guy walks up on the platform, and he looks around. He looks at one guy, and he says, "Sir, excuse me, does the word of Christian mean anything to you?" The guy goes, "That's my first name, Christian." And he goes, "Wow, okay. What's the numbers 580 mean?" The guy goes, "That's the number of my house." My guy goes, "Well, Lord wants you to know he knows your name, he knows where you live, and has not forgotten about you."
Wow.
Wow. He did that 3 times in a row. The 3 people. I was impressed, to say the least. One of those guys, you walk up, and he looks at you and goes, "Oh, Jesus, please forgive me of every sin I've ever done." Oh, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So, the word of knowledge can really validate a word of prophecy. And it's different to know about, it's important to know the difference between words of knowledge and prophecy. If I come up to you and I prophesy to you and I say, "God's going to call you into the ministry," you go, "Well, that's nice." But if I come up to you and says, "Your name's Christian, and your house number is 580, and by the way, God's calling you into the ministry, and I've never met you before," that carries a lot more weight, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The word of knowledge, God, I believe God uses it to set us up so we can receive a prophetic word about our future. Jesus did that at the well with a Samaritan woman. He was at the well. He asked her for something to drink. And he said, "Why don't you go call your husband and tell him to come here?" And the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Now, I got this part underlined here. This is the word of knowledge. "You have said correctly, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly." That's the word of knowledge you read or mail. And then he says, a little bit later, he goes, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem you will worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and is now, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." The Lord's talking about the Holy Spirit, that we can worship in spirit and in truth. Jesus was prophesying that about the future. She could receive this word because he was so accurate in the word knowledge. She went back to her town, to the village, and she was so overwhelmed by the word of knowledge that came from Jesus. She said, "He told me everything I did. He knows everything about me." Which wasn't true, because all he told her about was her husband's situation, her dysfunctional relationships with husbands. He didn't tell her everything, but the word of knowledge can bring that much, can make your prophetic word so credible,
right,
that it seems like you know everything about them. That's the power of the word of knowledge. Words of knowledge in Scripture were used extensively. Jesus operated in them. And I just want to go through a few of these. Now, I want to go through these for a purpose. I want to raise your level of expectancy about the level of accuracy that you can walk in. We have found, there's this verse, I don't think I put it in here, but you prophesy according to your faith. Mm-hmm. Your level of the prophetic will rise to what you have faith for. And how do you have more faith? You stir it up. You can stir up the faith within yourself, and you can stir up the faith within others. I started having this conviction. I really felt it was from the Lord. I had a strong desire to be able to prophesy like that guy did up at camp, where I could go up and speak names. Now, that's really putting yourself out there. Mm-hmm. And when you first do it, it is so scary, guys. One day, I was praying, and the Lord started to speak to me about this friend who was a much more accurate prophet, much more accurate in the prophetic than I was. I felt fortunate to be associated with him so I could learn. I always try to get close to people who I feel are sharper in gifts than I am so I could draw from them. And so I was praying, and the Lord said he's had some hurts in life, and because of that, his prophetic is hindered. And if he would get healed of those hurts, the prophetic, even as good as he is, the prophetic would be released to a greater extent within his life. So I said, "Well, God, I know him. And Lord, if I just call and say, 'Hey, you were hurt in the past, you need to get over it, so you can advance in the prophetic,' he's not going to receive that. I need some details. I would like to know the name of the person I heard. The name was Rocky Rhodes, dropped into my mind." I said, "Rocky Rhodes?" I said, "God, that's an ice cream. I mean, give me some." And then he would not, "Rocky Rhodes." I said, "Oh, kill me in this. Okay." And I'm a chicken. Guys, I'm a chicken, honestly. So I call him up, and we're talking on the phone, and then I'm kind of skirting around the issue because I really don't want to approach this yet. So he says, "Mike, why'd you call me?" Stern prophet voice. "Why did you call me, Mike?" And I said, well, the Lord showed me that you've been hurt in the past, and he wants to release a greater level of the prophetic within your life. But this hurt is keeping you from breaking through. And I knew he would not receive that. He goes, yeah, yeah, we've all been hurt. Because I just knew he wouldn't. And I said, "Does it?" And now, it's okay to be scared.
Right.
Yeah. Because we all are. It's okay to admit it. And it's okay, we're going to go into how to give a word of knowledge, but it's okay to be tentative.
Amen.
It's okay to fish to make sure you're right. So I said, does the name Rocky mean anything to you? And there was this dead silence. And he goes, why? I go, now I have the name Rocky Rhodes, right? Which I have no faith in this name. I really think something got twisted between heaven and my mind. And I said, I just feel there is someone in your past named Rocky who hurt you. And he goes, well, yeah. There was this guy in his church, and he kind of ran us out of the church. And he was one of the leaders, and he went through the story. And oops, I could... I'm feeling good about this, but I don't have enough faith for the roads, Rocky Roads. So I said, well, so I kind of slipped it in there. I said, well, you know, the Lord doesn't want us to have Rocky Roads in our life. The guy's nickname was Rocky. His last name was R-H-O-D-E-S.
Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was my first experience. I stirred myself up for it, and I asked. Just like the key in the prophetic is asking the Lord, if you're not prophesying at that level of names, phone numbers, and addresses in the word of knowledge, it's because you're not asking for it. And when you start asking and you start pressing through, you'll get breakthroughs. Took the couple guys out one time to a restaurant, and I gave them all pieces of paper, and I said, all right, I want three words of knowledge for the waitress, and I want a name. And you know, I don't like the forced evangelism, just don't like it, but there's ways you can do it where you don't look kooky. So we had a name. I believe the name was Lois. And the word of knowledge was, you need to spend more time with her. So the waitress came back towards the end, and we had all these words of knowledge, plus a name, and that you need to spend more time with Lois. First we said, hey, look, we're from this church, we're Christians, we're practicing the prophetic. Is it okay we practice on you?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not threatening, right? Can we practice on you? She said, sure. I said, does his name Lois mean anything to you? She goes, yeah, that's my grandmother. I said, well, the Lord wants you to spend more time with your grandmother. And then we went through the other words of knowledge and nailed it. Because there was three of us, so we were able to bring the words. Not everything we had was correct, but when we merged the three words, the three lists together, we came up with a complete picture, tossed a couple things out. But we didn't feel fit. And we cleaned her. We just read her mail. She goes, are you guys psychics? I said, no, we're just Christians that know how to hear from the Lord. The key is we were stirring each other's faith. Okay? In here, we stir each other's faith. We, in love, push each other to go farther. To sharpen our gifts. We are prophetic. We are a prophetic generation. We're children of the Most High that can hear Papa's voice. So as we go through these scriptures, I want to raise the level of expectation. Of Jesus walked as 100% man. He had he had the same ceiling we have, the limitations we have. He did not do one miracle with his God powers. He did it with man filled with the Holy Spirit and a right relationship with God. So, okay, Luke 19. He said, go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt that's tied up. No one has yet sat on it. There's a colt that no one has ever ridden. Untie it. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, which someone did, say the Lord has need of it. He was able to look into the future and speak it before it happened. That ability is available to you. Matthew 17, go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up, and you'll find a shekel in the fish's mouth. Take that and give it to the tax collectors for me and yourself. God has commissioned us to walk in this, guys. Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there was no deceit." He looked in and saw the man's heart. He said, "How do you know me?" He said, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Word of knowledge changed that guy's life, didn't it? Jesus didn't only do it, but the early church did it. Ananias and Sapphira, when Peter said, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep part of the proceeds back?" That was the word of knowledge. Peter knew. The Holy Spirit told him. Acts 9:11. I love this. It's so detailed. "Arise and go to a street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so he might regain his sight." He knew exactly where the guy was. He knew the vision that Paul had, and he knew beforehand what he could do. Guys, God is calling us into this as a church, as a body, to walk in this type of anointing, to walk in this prophetic, accurate word of knowledge. If we're not doing it, it's because we got to stir the faith up and start asking. Acts 10:4. "What is the Lord?" He says, "Your prayers and your arms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now go send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is Peter. He is lodging with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside." I love it. I love it. He had the guy's address. House number 580. Go there. And Acts 22:17, "Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me." Already knew. Guys, I just warn anything you want to stir your faith up to see them. To stir it up. Right now, take your hand, put it in your belly. Say, "Stir up.
Stir up.
My faith.
My faith.
That I will accurately.
That I will accurately.
Operate in the gift of the word of knowledge.
Operate in the gift of the word of knowledge.
Just like Jesus did.
Just like Jesus did.
Amen. Stir it up.
Amen. Stir it up. Stir it up."
All right. After this, we're going to do a healing school. And the Lord had us do the prophetic school first. The word of knowledge is used so much in healing to know what sickness is, what people are suffering from. And we're going to go into more detail of this when we get into the healing school, of how to stand before someone, whether it's one person or on a platform, and how to actually accurately receive words of knowledge for healing. The words, and you have to get this settled within your heart. If the Lord speaks to you, He wants to do it. If He reveals, He wants to heal. Okay. The key to healing, if you really study Jesus' healing scriptures, He prayed for the root cause. If a guy had mental illness, he cast out the demon that caused a mental illness. He didn't pray for the mental illness. Not everyone that's sick has a demon. Some have spirits. The word of knowledge will tell you what to pray for healing. To find the root cause for healing. Not only that, what sickness is in a person or within a group, but how to pray. That's why the word of knowledge is so important. Let's go over some hindrances to healing by the word of knowledge, okay? Unbelief. Unbelief is a huge hindrance. Jesus said when the guy brought him his son who was having seizures, He said, "All things are possible for those that believe." What's possible? All things, guys.
Amen.
We have to lock this in our hearts and believe it. All things are possible for
Amen.
Those that believe. All things are possible. And he cried out, I believe, help my unbelief. I have prayed that prayer myself so many times. Say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Remove my unbelief. Demons. There's a deaf and mute spirit. One time I was praying for a guy in San Domingo, 20 years old, deaf mute. Put my finger in his ears. He had never heard in his entire life. And I just said, I command a deaf and mute spirit to leave in Jesus' name. He heard for the first time in his life. So cool. So cool. It's only happened once, but really cool. Blind. Then a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute was brought to him. The demon-oppressed man, the demon caused the blindness. Jesus cast out the spirit and regained his sight. Infirmity. There was a woman who had a disabling spirit for 18 years. Often in people who are crippled and paralysis, not always, but it's a spirit of infirmity. If you have constant problems with your muscular system, with your skeleton system, it could be a spirit of infirmity. One time I was praying, I had this vision. And in the vision, I walked into the store. There was this guy in his wheelchair. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit, was really teaching me through this. And he was in the wheelchair, and people would come up and encourage him. And at first he was all slumped down. As the people would come up and encourage him, he would straighten up, and he would attempt to get out of his wheelchair. But then there's a serpent I saw that was wrapped around his spine, and the serpent would come up and vomit into his ear. And then the guy would get all depressed again. Someone else would come up and encourage him, and the guy would get all depressed again. And the Lord told me, go up and cast out the spirit. This was in the vision. And I went up and did that, and the guy got out of his wheelchair and left. The Holy Spirit was teaching me about it. And sometimes, at least with me, praying, it's easier to pray for someone with cancer than someone who you can physically see, whether they're in a wheelchair, they're crippled, things like that. Because that unbelief can kick up so easily. But what the Lord was showing me is that activate the word of knowledge. Find out why that person is in the condition. And if it's a spirit, don't look at the person, but focus on the spirit.
Right.
And then go out and cast out the spirit. And in that vision, I got so mad at the spirit, I forgot about the guy being in the wheelchair. I was just so mad that snake bombed me in the guy's ear. So I went out, and as I did that, I said, in Jesus' name, spirit of infirmity, I command you to get out. The snake unwound and took off, and the guy walked. Depression. And when you pray for, if the Lord shows you that someone has a spirit, evil spirit, demonic spirit, you pray in the opposite spirit. You know, you cast it out and you pray in the opposite spirit. If someone has a spirit of depression, you pray, Lord, we just bring forth a garment of praise. A garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know, I command the spirit of depression to leave. The word of knowledge has revealed that to you. I command the spirit of depression to leave. Lord, release a garment of praise. Sin. It's a hindrance. There's that story about Jesus preaching. There's so many people packed around that house. The guys ripped the roof off the house, and they lower the guy in the cot. Now, these guys have walked a long way. And this guy's probably heavy. You know, they got him in a cot. So I'm sure their shoulders were aching. I think for the story that they walked a long way to get there. They were so desperate, they probably didn't want to have to haul him back. So they ripped the roof. They go, you know, Fred, he's just been eating way too much. We cannot carry him any longer. So they dropped him in the cot. They were wanting Jesus to say, get up and walk. But the first thing he said was, your sins are forgiven. The word of knowledge told him there was sin in a man's life that had to be removed before he could receive his healing. Oftentimes, pray for someone for healing, and they don't get healed. Now, I go under a couple assumptions that the Lord wants to heal everyone. Right? Because God's good. Mm-hmm. Sickness is bad. So if I pray for someone and they don't get healed, I back up and say, Lord, why aren't they being healed? And oftentimes the Lord spoke to me and says, they have sin, they have unforgiveness. You've got to go and deal with the unforgiveness so they can receive healing. That's sin. So just as Jesus had to remove the sin, you go in and help them through their release the unforgiveness. As they release the unforgiveness, then I've seen people healed, whatever the sin is. Activate a person's faith. The word of knowledge. Remember, like I gave them that example a little while ago. An accurate word of knowledge will make the faith in someone jump. If I come and tell you a secret of your heart, the faith in you will jump. One of the first times that I received a word of knowledge went down to this revival tent. And I had never been in a service like this before. And people were falling out. And I said, this is crazy. This is absolute craziness. They must be pushing them down. And so I'll never forget it. I'm sitting in the chair, and I feel the Lord speak to me, and I'm so new at this. And I heard the Lord said, remove your shoes. And I said, everyone else has their shoes on. The Lord said, you are in Holy Ghost. You are. So I said, well, okay, I'm in these chairs. No one's seen me anyway. So I kind of like just slipped off the shoes, right? And within 15 seconds after I got my shoes off, the woman that's preaching stops and says, sir, can you come up, please? Oh, man, busted. And we had been, and my thought walking up there, honestly, I have to say, my thought was, that woman's not going to push me down. And I got up there and I planted my feet. And I was just like a stone wall. Like this. We'd been to a Promise Keepers meeting. A big Promise Keepers thing the week before. And the pastor in the church we were at had asked us to come speak about Promise Keepers. So I had this little testimony that I had worked up in my mind of what I was going to say. I had not written it down or had told anyone. I walk up there, and she starts reciting my testimony back to me. And all of a sudden, that wall I had just melted. And when she laid hands on me, all I remember was seeing the top of that tent. What just happened? The word of knowledge, an accurate word of knowledge, will activate the person's faith that you're praying for. Sometimes faith is needed for them to receive what God wants to release in their lives. Compassion. When he saw a great crowd, he had compassion on them. A lack of compassion will hinder healing. I was down in the slums of Santo Domingo. And going through the prayer line. And this is the first crusade I ever did. And this woman from the slums brings up this little baby who was about unconscious. Not asleep, but about unconscious. The baby had not eaten, and she was breastfeeding for 3 days. And this baby was almost limp. Baby was not dead, but almost limp. And this woman was from the slums. She had absolutely no access to a doctor. And here's her baby. She's absolutely, you could see the pain in her. And she asked me to pray for her. And I'm it. There's nothing else past me. And this whole situation just grabbed me. And this compassion rose up. And I remember putting my hands on the baby, and I just started to cry. I couldn't even pray. The whole thing overwhelmed me. And for like 2-3 minutes, I just wept over this baby. And then I let go, and I walked away. And the enemy spoke to me. He said, you're a loser. You couldn't even pray for the baby. 15 minutes later, the woman brought that baby back, totally healed, jumping all over the place.
Thanks God.
Yeah. And she was so happy, she whipped out her shirt and started feeding the baby. I'm like, oh, Jesus. The word of knowledge will tell you what to release at that moment and at that time. That's why it's so important. God's love, sometimes a healing hug, or a hug that brings healing, is exactly what the person needs. I'll be in lines of praying for people, and pray, and all of a sudden, you hear that word, hug them. Don't say a word, just hug them. I've had people crumble in my arms when the Lord instructed me to do that. Word of knowledge, exactly what that person needs. Ways that you can receive words of knowledge. You can feel it. We call it a sympathetic pain, a throbbing sensation, a strong emotion is fear or panic. You can be around someone and all of a sudden there's a pain that goes across your knee. You go, whoa, what was that? I've been in those situations and I go, man, it was weird. Why does my knee hurt so much? And then it just occurred to me, my knee doesn't normally hurt. This is God. Whoa. Okay, who's next to me? Steph's next to me. I go, hon, does your knee hurt? She goes, yeah. It's a word of knowledge. Learn to recognize, do a body check. I call it a body check. If you're receiving pains and sensations you do not normally have, that sympathetic pain, learn to recognize that. That's the way the Lord's speaking to you. And then look who you're near. If the Lord's revealed it to you, He wants to heal that person. Mm-hmm. See it. Word of knowledge. There can be a mental picture. You can see a body part, a heart, or foot, or something like that. Crutch, eyeglasses, and unusual items. This is the way I usually receive words of knowledge. I see visions, quick images, snapshots that come in my mind. And then I have to interpret through the revelation of the Lord what that means. I usually operate like that all the time. Usually I see words of knowledge, not everyone does. There's different ways to do it. If you're a seer, the key is those, it comes so faint and it comes so light. You will only see the image for a split second, if that. The training comes as you learn how to capture it, to immediately stop and focus. We talked about last week about the rational thinking versus the spontaneous thoughts. If something, since the Holy Spirit is living inside of you, His presence will be made known. And if someone lives inside of you, we have to establish, be okay with that. You are not alone, even if you're alone. So if someone lived inside of you, not all of your thoughts are yours. Sure. Not everything you see is your mind. It's His presence within you. And the key to the prophetic in the seeing realm, whether it's words, knowledge, whatever, is learning the spontaneous images, spontaneity. It just comes out of nowhere. You're not even thinking about it. And this image comes across your mind. You go, whoa, why did that hit me? Mm-hmm. In the past, you've probably dismissed that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Thinking, well, that doesn't make any sense to my situation right now. But you learn to capture it. I'm telling you, focus on that stuff. As you learn to capture it, that is the way the Lord speaks to you. And you stop immediately. I really try to discipline myself that when those things come, I immediately stop and focus in on it. And that really sharpens the prophetic gift. Read it. This happens sometimes. I've only experienced this just a few times, where there'll be a sign, a neon sign dangling over a person, you see it in the spirit, or a sign written across their chest or something. We're praying for someone one time, and the person said, I have never been able to experience the Lord, His touch. And I'm in churches, and I see everyone else getting touched, and I'm just sitting there like dead wood. And I just would really like to feel the presence of God. I said, well, all right, let's pray. And I prayed. She didn't have any experience. Nothing happened to her. And then all of a sudden, in a neon sign above her head, I saw unforgiveness, unforgiveness, unforgiveness. Oh, wow, that's pretty strong. And I started questioning her. She admitted she had unforgiveness. We led her through the prayer of forgiveness, prayed for her again, and she felt the presence of God for the first time in her life.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Word of knowledge. I was up at a friend's church recently, and he had myself and Ian Andrews pray for his entire team. So they came in the room we were in, and we prophesied over every single person on the team. And this one person came in, and it was really strange. It was the word of this a town. And it was on. I saw it in my mind as being on a string, and it was dangling. And it was more like this at first, so I had to look to the side, and then I could read the town. And I asked him, I said, does this town mean anything to you? And he goes, why? And I said, well, the Lord's telling me that there's a house down there with more land than what you have, and you should check it out. And he says, I was on the internet 2 hours ago. We're thinking of selling our house. I was on the internet 2 hours ago looking at a house in that town with more land. And I see it. Thank it. Number four, mental impression. It's just a thought. Not everyone sees. Some people come from the flowing thoughts. And when we do the activation, we're going to practice on the flowing thoughts today. Because what we've been practicing on is an image or a word in the past. Now we're going to flowing thoughts. Say it. Have you ever been speaking to someone and the words came out which were not yours?
Yes.
And you go, where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you heard it for the first time when you spoke it.
Yeah.
That is prophetic. The Holy Spirit speaking through you. Hear it. Still small voice. I already talked about that. Words of knowledge. It's that tiny small voice that you hear in the back of your mind. Dream it. Often you'll get words of knowledge in dreams. And then the next time you see the person, you can give the word of knowledge. Okay, this is how you awaken the gift of the word of knowledge within you. Believe. You got it. Believe. All things are possible. It says in Matthew 16 that these signs will accompany those that believe. These signs will accompany you.
Those that believe.
Those that believe. What do you have to believe in? The signs. I promise you, if you do not believe God will use you, it probably won't happen because your faith is not activating the gifts within you. If you believe that you are you're able to walk in the word of knowledge, you believe you can cast out demons, if you believe that you can heal the sick, believe you can raise the dead, it will happen in your life. Faith is a trigger that pulls that gun. Earnestly desire. It's that verse we talked about in the beginning. God will give you, release in your life, what you place value on. It says in Jeremiah that he will give you the desires of your heart. It has to be a desire, an earnest desire of your heart. And you know, I used to battle within my own heart. If I had a desire, because I would somehow want to put other people first. Well, that's not for me. That's for other people. I don't want to be selfish and focus on me. But then the Lord showed me, he grants the desires of my heart because he's the one that placed those desires in there. That I would not have had that desire unless he placed it in there.
Yeah.
The desire comes in seed form. If there's a desire within you to move in a greater prophetic anointing, it's a seed planted in you by God. You have to water and nurture that seed.
Yes. Amen.
You have to earnestly desire. You contend. You break through for that thing. That's how it grows. A clean heart. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, it says in Psalms, the Lord would not have listened. Amen. Sanctified imagination. Where are your spiritual eyes? It's your imagination. Your imagination is an organ that God created for within you to see into a supernatural realm. When you have a vision or a dream, where is it at? In your imagination. A sanctified imagination. It's the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. Why? So you may know the hope that which He has called you for. What are the riches of the glorious inheritance? He wants to give you your inheritance. It comes through a sanctified imagination, where your mind is clean, that He can write upon it whatever He wants to write upon.
Amen.
Practice is a way to awaken the gift of the Word of Knowledge. A lot of people have issues with this. The Bible tells us, "For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and be encouraged." Hebrews says, "But solid food is for the mature, but those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." If you're called to pastor, you practice preaching, correct? The gifts come in seed form. Prophets do not start out as prophets. There's a time of beginning, there's a time of training, there's a time of practice. It's okay to practice the gifts.
Amen.
As we sharpen our discernment, you practice healing. Practice comes, as you practice, you learn about root causes that keep people sick. You learn how to remove the root causes that block healing. That only comes through practice. Through the prophetic, practice will train you to distinguish between your thoughts and the thoughts of the Holy Spirit. So you're not torn with that. Is it me or is it God? Is it me or... You're not going through that all the time. If you value the prophetic within your life, you're going to be practicing the entire day.
Mm.
Lord, give me a word for the person that I'm about to go see.
Yeah.
Give me a word for someone at work today, Lord. Give me a word in the life of someone. And wherever you go, you're practicing. And then as you give that word, it's constant practice. What we do here is practice.
That's good. Yeah, that's good news.
Amen.
Yeah. No fear. Oh. Fear, spirit of fear. My gosh. Google searches rate different states based upon Google can rate different states of the union based on searches. The state with the most, where people experience the most fear, they can rate that. Now, I would have thought it'd be New York with a Twin Towers, terrorist attacks. But according to Google, out of all the 50 states, the state with the most fear is North Carolina.
Wow.
Where people experience the most fear. The most fearful city of the most fearful state, Wilmington, which happens to be called the Cape Fear Region. So we really started pressing in, Lord, why do people in North Carolina and in this region, it's also in Virginia too, and so why do people experience so much fear here? Do you know that the seeds of the gospel were planted in this region? Manteo, the lost colony. And then Jamestown. So you have this new world and the gospel's coming in. The seeds of the gospel that are going to sweep across the entire nation. Whenever God releases something, the enemy releases a counterattack. So if the gospel is going to bring freedom, the enemy is going to release fear to bind it. So how many times did the Lord have to say to Joshua and Israel as they were going into the promised land, don't fear, don't fear. By the way, don't fear. Right? God has given not a spirit of fear, but a power of love and self-control. It's something that you have to attack within your own life. We have tried to develop here what we're calling a culture of risk, where it's okay to make mistakes. I'm doing everything I can to take away any potential that you might have of fear of making a mistake. It's okay to mess up here. We all will. In fact, I hope you do, because I want you to push you far enough and stretch you in the prophetic to where you make mistakes. So you find out where you to deliver a word of knowledge. Let me give you some practical ways, okay? The Lord told me a while back, when you have great authority in your life, spiritually, you have the potential to do great damage. No man walked in greater authority than Adam. He named all the animals. He had dominion. Yet no one created more damage than Adam. The more spiritual authority you walk in, the more potential damage that you have, that you can inflict on other people. That's why we stress integrity and, you know, love, and really just letting the Lord be in this. Humility is a key. Guys, we don't want to give harsh words. We're not Old Testament prophets. That is an old covenant. We're humble. Even if you're 100% accurate with the words you have, deliver it as being humble. Humility. Even if they don't receive the word that you give them, they should receive Christ's love through you.
Amen.
That's good.
Let them feel the love, guys. It'll help the word get delivered and change their lives. It's okay to be tentative in speaking out the word. Look, it's perfectly fine. If God gives you a word, let's just say you're at work. God gives you a word, it's okay. You know, this is the first time I'm new at this. But I just really feel the Lord saying, it's okay to say stuff like that. You know, I remember the first few times, I'm such a chicken, such a wimp. I'm saying, well, I think, maybe, possibly, if it doesn't bear witness, just throw it away. But God might be saying this to me, and then I would tell him the word.
Set up everything.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay to admit that you're nervous to the person you're giving the word to. Humble. Model humility to them. Let them show that you're human. The worst thing we can do is, as we grow in the prophetic, is to put ourselves up on some type of pedestal that the person thinks, well, only certain special people get to prophesy that way. Because we all start out at the same place, don't we?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Don't let the fear rob you of the person's blessing. If God has given you a word, it's to bless that person. If you let fear rob you, it robs the person of what God wants to do in that. Okay? Faith is spelled what? R-I-S-K. Avoid speaking negative words or words that bring fear upon a person. It says in Proverbs, life and death are in the power of the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
With more authority comes potential to do greater damage. I can remember this service, and this was maybe 10 years ago, 12 years ago, and someone comes up to me, and they go, see that person on the other side of the room? I go, yeah. They go, that person has a spirit of death on them. I'm going to go tell them. And I went, I had to tackle him. You don't walk up and tell someone you have a spirit of death. He goes, what should I do? I said, you stand here, and you pray in the opposite spirit and break it. Mm. That person, I know that person's still alive 12 years from now. I mean, you know, it's been 12 years, that person's still alive. I've seen people go up and give words, you know, the Lord showed me those black spots on your pancreas.
Oh my gosh.
What kind of fear would that release in a person if someone come up and gave that word to you? Right? We do not prophesy problems. We prophesy answers.
Good word.
Amen.
We prophesy solutions.
Amen.
If the Lord Lord will show you stuff like that. You can see black spots on a person's pancreas. God will show you that. That is not what you speak. You speak life. You speak words of life that they can receive. Sometimes you don't even need to say it. It says in Proverbs that a fool speaks whatever is on his mind.
Good word.
And there's words that are for you only. Sometimes there's words that you intercede for that are not to be spoken. And it's discernment to know the difference. That's the practice. Always speak positive. Always speak life. Cool.
What would you do in that case?
What?
The pancreas, if you saw black spots, would you say...
I would go up to the person if I saw like black spots on a person's organ or something. Mm-hmm. I would go up to if they were going to say that they had issues. Say that person does have a cancer because that's black spots. I think that's what it represent. I would say something like, "How's your health? How are you feeling?" And if they say everything's fine, I'm just praying, Lord. I just ask the rivers of life to flow through them, God. Lord, just release the river of life upon them. In Jesus' name. Sometimes a person will say, "Oh, I just went to the doctor. This is what they told me." Bingo. Then you go right after it.
Right.
We never create fear with our... A word of knowledge, even if it's accurate, bring a curse upon a person. Because there's life and death in your tongue. Maybe it's not accurate, but if you go up and say... God showed me that you have cancer. Right? And that person, I mean, you could open a door up in that person's life. So we be careful what we say. We speak positive things. We speak life. Okay? When we minister to people, I have a heart that when we train people in the prophetic, we train people in healing, it's not going to be done in the church all the time. That when we train people, it's to do outside of the four walls of the church.
Yeah, come on.
Somehow in the church culture, we developed a Christianese type language. And we do, depending on what circle that you're in, if you're in a charismatic type circle, there are certain things that we would do in church that people would think you're absolutely nuts if you went out into the world. I've seen people, I'm thinking of this one person, that when they prophesy, they whip their head like a mop. Right? Now, honestly, if you went into Walmart and went up to prophesy, and God gave you a word, and you started doing that before you prophesied, they probably wouldn't receive the word. And... not that I'm saying we have to be different in church and out in the world. When the power of God comes upon someone, we react differently to the power of God. Some people, God will call to minister within the church predominantly. The fivefold ministry, if you're called to be a prophet, okay? If you have a calling of a prophet, what is your primary role? It's to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Your primary role is going to be within the church. If you're the fivefold ministry of an evangelist, if you're the evangelist in the church, what's your role? To equip the saints to all be evangelists. See, we've really messed up the way we use the fivefold. If most churches, they have an evangelist, they expect that person to go out and bring in the lost.
Right.
Where that fivefold is a special gift. To train people. They have a special grace upon their lives to train people within the church. Now, if you have a prophet that has strange manifestations, and they're in an office of the prophet, praise God. To me, that's fine, because that's within a church structure. But we train people. We want to train you to do it wherever that you're at. So, Jesus was not born in King James times. I don't think he spoke King James English. When you give a word, you do not have to say, "Thus saith the Lord." It can be natural. In fact, if you really study, when Jesus prayed for people and ministered, he was very natural. Even for healing, you just go up and lay his hands on a person and touch him. Be done. Timing in delivering the word. God has a due season. It says in Psalms, they all wait for you, Lord, to give them food in due season.
Amen.
When you're given a prophetic word, it's bread. Mm. It's the bread of life. It's coming from the Lord, and there's a due season for it. And sometimes we have to be careful, okay? The word of knowledge can come quickly. It can be vague. When you get it, the reason you don't have more revelation of that word is because we have to learn to press in. If I see an image in my mind, it's like, okay, Lord, what does that mean? And we press in on it. We had talked about this some. I heard some people last week talking about this, and I just want to get this cleared up. The most mistakes I've made is when I try to give my opinion, or I get an accurate word of knowledge for someone, and I try to make it make sense for me. Because if it doesn't make sense, if it didn't make sense to me, I would feel real strange about giving it. So when you do that, you actually change the meaning of the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is for the person you're giving it to. It doesn't have to make sense for you. Three words of knowledge for your server. Give them to your server. You can, you don't have to make it weird. Hey, we're just practicing this. Is it okay we practice? Right? You'll be amazed until you step out, okay? Activation. What we're going to start to have is prophetic groups within the church. So on Sundays, people can come in and sit in front of four or five people, and those people will give them prophecy, give them prophetic words. I talked about we're going to work on getting into the flow. There's different ways you can prophesy. You can go for the like the box of the tissues, where you go for the one word. And then when you pull out the tissue, then the next tissue pops up. That's a way to stir up the prophetic. You wait for the one word, the one image. It pops up in you. When you give it, the next tissue pops up out of the box. When you give that one word, the next word comes. That's stirring it up. That's one way to do it. Another way to prophesy, it's a technique. So all these breath mints being passed.
Pass that on.
Is to get into the flow, the river of God that's flowing. And you do it this way. I guarantee you, I could have everyone in here prophesy over everyone. One person, each of you, could prophesy over everyone in this room by this technique. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
You can walk up to a person. You do not have a word for them. I've done this I don't know how many times, especially when you're in some prayer lines, you're doing a service, people are walking up to you. You do not have a word for them in advance. You start to pray the Logos word over them.
Mm-hmm. Pray for what?
Pray the Logos word, the written word of God, the promises of God from the Bible over the person.
Mm-hmm.
Father, I thank you that you have made them the head and not the tail. Father, I thank you that they are seated in heavenly places. And you, as the scriptures come, you just start praying scriptures. What that does, it gets you into the flow of what the Lord's speaking. The Bible, the Word of God, opens the Logos Word, will open up the Rhema Word of the Lord. In prophecy, we want the Rhema Word, what God is speaking to them at this moment and at this time. You can go up to anyone cold, and you start praying the Logos Scripture promises over them. You're entering, it'll get you into the flow, into that flow that's bubbling up from you.
What am I saved?
That's still God's promises. Oh, yeah. The person's not saved, it doesn't matter. God's promises over them.
Okay, I mean, I was...
Yeah. But it's coming from, you know, from you. You're just... And we've been overseas, and we've done that, and we've got these long lines, and everyone wants a prophetic word. And you just start praying that Logos word, and then pause, and somehow it opens up your floodgates within you. God's word releases life. I'm going to say that again. God's word releases life. That's the mechanics of it. So we want to practice tonight in prophetic presbytery or group prophecy. You have, like, if you can break up in groups, so like one person is sitting in front, it's one person at a time. You start with the strongest person in the prophetic, starts off. The least experience is in the back. You let the flow, you let the river begin. Each person starts out with the Logos Scripture promises over that person. Just ask the Lord which ones you should pray. You've all read the Bible. And then pause. And then wait for the... Then it opens up for the Rhema word to come through.